Good morning, Joe.
How are you this morning?
I was out watering my lawn at 5:30 this morning. We need some rain.
We do indeed. Yeah, that's the grass is like concrete.
My wife's screaming at me because of the water bill. But I like my plants to look nice.
It's a challenge for gardeners, for sure.
Sure is.
This season, yeah. My only hope is we don't make it up in one fell swoop.
agreed.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in this morning. Appreciate it.
No problem.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some changes happening within the Quincy Fire Department this week.
Indeed. Yes. In fact, this morning at 9 o'clock, we'll be swearing in our new fire chief, interim Chief Joe Jackson, who's been a deputy for a number of years, administrative deputy, and he's been interim before, opted to sign up for the assessment center this time, and he's declined it in the past, taken on the chief's position, but he signed up for it along with two other deputies, and the assessment center came back recommending him by far. Civil Service has certified it, so now we'll swear him in this morning. He's really a firefighter's firefighter. I mean, he's knows his business. He's fair, but he's tough. Worries about the safety of his guys. He's just a solid guy. And his dad was a longtime deputy fire chief who was very well respected. And I know his dad would be very proud if he was still with us.
How long has Joe been on the department, do you know?
That's a good question. Yeah. Maybe 22, 23 years.
At least, yeah. Sure.
Maybe 25.
Yeah. Very good. And that will set off a series of changes, right?
It will indeed. We've got a bunch of other retirements, so we're actually going to be tomorrow promoting a number of people. Two deputies, four captains, and five lieutenants.
Wow.
Which then results into five firefighter slot openings up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there's always movement in big departments like this, and I think the times we're in is also probably tripping some of these guys to go a little earlier than they would have otherwise.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that in public safety in general across the country.
Correct.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Will there be an actual in-person ceremony?
Today, for the chief, we're going over to Hancock Park where his mother is at. She's got some physical issues, so she's there. We're going over to the courtyard there, appropriate social distancing, and mm-hmm. doing it in the presence of his mother. Tomorrow we are doing it in the chamber, but we've limited it to, I think, two people per candidate. You know, we're following the rules, so
sure.
It's a big day for these guys. You know, it's hard when under these circumstances to celebrate these events as they usually are. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I saw over the weekends the firefighter's flag from Hingham has made its way to Quincy for a display, and how did you feel about that?
Yeah, well, you know what? That was a horrible thing that happened to Officer Chesner and Weymouth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just important if we remember these people, especially in these times where it seems that, you know, there's just no respect for public safety right now. And I'm not saying that with everybody, certainly, but there's an awful attitude out there, I just don't like it at all. But this is a case where honoring an individual who, you know, was just south of our border, family has Quincy connections, died in the line of service. It was a horrible incident, and we certainly want to remember him and all those across the country that put on the line every day and have lost their lives. We don't care about that really too much anymore. But, you know, people die all across the country every year in the fire and police services, and so it's nice to see the firefighters honoring their brother police officers, you know, brother and sister police officers, I should say, in such a way.
Very good. Mayor, we should talk a little bit about the Quincy Public Schools. By the end of this week, there will be a plan to reopen in the fall and a new superintendent.
Yeah, not much going on the school side. I said to my colleagues, I love you people, but I'm sick of seeing you. I mean, gee, I think we've met more in 3 months than we have in 3 years.
Yes.
It's been crazy. Yeah, tonight we have the interview for our own interim superintendent, Kevin Mulvey. Yep. Thursday night we have Jamal Mosley, he's from Nashua. We also have a regular meeting Thursday night to talk about our reopening. And then Friday night, we have a meeting that's we're going to pick the choice for the superintendent for the next few years. So,
right.
Yeah, action-packed week for the Quincy Public Schools.
Indeed. What is the back-to-school plan kind of looking like now?
The last I'd spoken to some of the team at the end of last week, it appeared we were going in the hybrid direction.
Yeah.
There are those that want us just to go back fully. Some want elementary to go back fully and do hybrid for middle and even remote for high school. I mean, there's so many different opinions on this. Mm-hmm. And I respect all those opinions, but, you know, we're just going to have to take a vote on it and make the best decision we can. I'll certainly be listening to the recommendation of Mr. Mulvey, Mrs. Perkins, and the entire leadership team. They get a good feel for this stuff. They know their needs. They know their talents. They know their buildings. So that will carry a lot of weight with me. But it's... it's crazy times, crazy times.
As I understand, there will be a remote option available for parents who don't want to send their
kids. That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. You know, at the end of the day, you know, even over the years, I know I've had discussions with people. They're upset we didn't call school for a snow day or what have you. And I said, look, parents always have the right to make a decision for their child. Mm-hmm. If they feel it's a safety issue for their own child, then keep them home, you know. This is an option required by the state. If somebody wants to do that remotely, we're obligated to do that, and we're prepared to do that, so that's not an issue.
What would in-person learning look like? What would be some of the protocols?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Obviously, the social distancing, breaking the classrooms up. You know, the hybrid model is breaking it up, two different cohorts, going 2 days a week. Wednesday's an off day in the buildings, but they'd be learning remote. It's just craziness in relation to the crazy times we're in. So, I think that many districts will be doing remote. Many will be doing hybrid. I think very few are going to be doing in-person.
Mm-hmm. Face masks, I'm assuming, of course.
Face masks, yep. We'll have hand sanitizer everywhere, wash stations.
Yep.
You know, there won't be any lunch in the cafeterias. Lunch will be brought to the classrooms. You know, they're trying to figure out the buses now because you can't have as many kids on the buses.
Right.
I mean, there's every time you turn a corner, there's a new issue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll deal with it like everybody else.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Athletics, has there been any talk about what that might look like?
There's been a lot of talk, but until MIA makes a final decision.
I
haven't paid close attention to that lately. There was talk a few weeks ago that we're going to flip the seasons and do softball, baseball in the fall and do soccer and football next spring.
Huh.
Because of the personal contact on that stuff, that it might make better sense. And I thought it had some legs to it, but I haven't heard any more about it. So I don't know if that was just one of those rumors that started. This is lousy for these kids. I mean, I understand we got to keep everything in perspective, and this is a real virus. But, you know, if you're going into your senior year or just had your senior year, it really stinks. Although I was reminded by an older gentleman who said, you know, he says, I didn't finish my senior year either. I was sent to Vietnam.
Oh.
So, you know, you got to put everything in perspective.
Yeah. They're debating a bill at the State House, of course, to suspend the MCAS. How do you feel about that?
I think they should be suspended.
You do?
I mean, the MCAS, I think we've been focusing far too much on them. I do believe we need testing measures in our schools to measure where we're at, how we're doing as a system. But, you know, we've gotten to the point where districts are teaching to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we lose something in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, can we talk a little bit about the virus? About a week ago, there was some concern that it was spiking a bit here in Quincy. How does it look right now?
It's been up and down.
Yeah.
We were up 6 yesterday, 11 over the last 5 days. So that wasn't bad. I mean, as you know, several weeks ago, we were down to 8 active cases, and then it tripped up again. And,
right.
You got to believe it's those summer barbecues and parties and events. And, you know, the health commissioner, as you know, Ruth Jones, does a phenomenal job. We talk daily. She's concerned, but she's not hitting the panic button. She's, look, we just got to continue to be smart. And that's the message we're trying to get out to people is, you know, be smart. You know, pay attention to this. It's not something we can fool around with, particularly if you got a loved one who falls into one of those categories. They're vulnerable, so... it is what it is. We're dealing with it. We'll get through it. Hopefully the numbers will continue to decline.
Yeah. I know there was problems with some of the restaurants not adhering to the guidelines. Has that been corrected, do you think?
Oh, it has been.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're on that on a regular basis. And, you know, there's sometimes, you know, a person reached out to me. I'm not going to mention the name of the restaurant, but this individual's a waiter, or waitress, I should say, in a restaurant, and she's got some serious health conditions where she can't wear a mask.
Mm.
And, you know, people will call the health department on her, the state on her, and, you know, she's had some serious health issues where she can't wear it. And she, you know, she keeps distance from the tables and lets people know, but that's her livelihood. She can't give it up. So people shouldn't be so judgmental, is what I suggest, when they're out and about. You never know what that other person's dealing with. Having said that, overall, we did have issues in general with some of the restaurants, with some of the employees not adhering to it. But I think everybody's been really put on notice and following it. Now, with this new order coming out today, there's some bars that are just going to have to close.
Right. Yep.
They just don't have the serious food operation that is going to be required under the law now.
Yep.
So you feel for these people.
Yes. You know? Talk a little bit lighter note. How are the efforts to get the Adams books and papers out of the Boston Library back to Quincy?
Well, funny you bring that up, Joe.
Yes.
we just sent the official letter off at the end of last week.
Uh-huh.
Finally sent the official letter off, copied the mayor of Boston on it. Went to the head of the Boston Public Libraries. And we'll give them a little time to respond, and then we will follow up with a phone call, and hopefully we can schedule a meeting at some point to discuss these this possibility. I mean, I do think we are in the right legally. I think they belong. I know they belong to us. They were on loan for many years to the Boston Public Library, which was something initiated by one of the Adams family members. Now they're on every one of those. All his book collection are on. You can get them electronically now, so you don't need to physically go in and remove them to look at them. So. And, of course, I give them a lot of credit. Boston Public Library did a lot of work preserving them and protecting them. So, you know, we're looking forward to work with them on it. I think, you know, John Adams wanted them in Quincy, his hometown. His, you know, that's where his love was, particularly that site. He left the money to build the academy there. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. It's almost poetic in some ways, you know. So I think at the end of the day we'll win the argument, win the day. But well, I'm sure we're going to be in for a little bit of a battle.
Where do you envision them going in Quincy? At the Historical Society? Or
absolutely. I have a long-term plan where the Historical Society would move out. Yeah, we would provide a new location for them, a good location, by the way. And then, you know, the idea of a presidential library on that site. But the book collection could go in the academy portion, and I see down the road a new building by the academy for presidential library theme. So you could have the old archive stuff in the academy, and then you could have this fresh, I don't know if you've been to Mount Vernon, but the visitor center down there, and so they've really done a fantastic job.
It's phenomenal, yes.
So I could envision something like that. Over there at the library. I mean, it's quite a story to tell. And I do believe the times we're living in, as crazy as they are, I think that really adds to the Adams legacy because of their position on slavery. They were so far ahead of their time. So I got to believe when we roll this out, there's going to be some interest with some foundations and things to help us financially pull this off.
All right. We look forward to following that into the future, Mayor.
Sounds good.
Appreciate your time, as always. Stay cool.
You also.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.